Toro. They got a shipment of electric handheld items, blowers, weed eaters, saws, tree trimmers, and more. See them at CartDR.com. It's Kenny with Coastal Traffic on WABF 1480.
And good morning, 1480 WABF, and it is currently 64 degrees outside. Yeah, last time I said that, it was 56, but now it's all the way up to 64, so it's warming up. Going to be a very nice day today. And joining us with us this morning, we have got Richard Johnson from the Fairhope Public Works Department. And good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. And we were talking about traffic delays. Are you part of the electric companies that are doing stuff in the area?
We coordinate, as you know, our department. We have a department within Public Works called Horticulture, which is over our city trees and of that nature. And we do try to coordinate with the trimming of the trees that are involved, the clearance of electrical lines. And that is a challenge, not only from, sometimes the trees don't look really great after they're trimmed, and the delays with traffic and things of that nature. And again, if it's a state road, we don't issue that permit. Mm-hmm. That is going to be the state, and we just ask everybody's patience. And it is always a challenge managing the needs of the space that's there between the trees, and folks want reliable electrical service, and trying to find that balance.
Yeah, because everybody loves their trees, but they love their electricity too. And I was going to say, this morning coming in, there are doing trimming work on Scenic 98. Right just south of the triangle where Scenic 98 and 104 converge, and both the north and south lanes are just jammed up due to all the traffic. So if you're coming through that way, give yourself a little extra time this morning and be a little patient and be a little nice, let folks in.
Absolutely.
So what's going on with the city? I see that you've got the infrastructure done here on Church Street. Is that done all the way up, all the way through?
Yes. And we appreciate everybody's patience. That was a very massive project that spanned from all the way from the absolute north end of Church Street all the way to Fells. And it involved a complete sewer, gas, water, and storm system upgrade, as well as ADA compliancy for sidewalks. And it's basically a brand new road from top to bottom. And we're very, very pleased with how that has turned out. And I know that it was a disruption to our downtown business and residents, but it was infrastructure that was really needing the improvements and upgrading. And we're excited to have that one taken off the table and complete. Church Street's kind of become an epicenter for us right now. Right across from the studio here, we have the Arts Alley project under construction, which was a project that's been under conception, design, and permitting and funding for 7 years. And so now it's become a reality, and that project is moving ahead, and we're excited about that and looking forward to it being finished. And at the same time, probably a really important project to our citizens is there's activity at the K-1 Center, the school campus that the city purchased several years ago. Part of the campus is going to be used for continuing the support of education through our FEEF program, and they're doing campus improvements on their portion. We have now contractors in the historic school building taking care of the asbestos abatement, which will then lead to, we've gone under contract with engineers and architects to start the redesign of the K-1 Center, and based upon our grant funding and timeline, hopefully this time next year we'll be advertising for contract for the redevelopment and remodeling and bringing the K-1 Center back to life for a community purpose.
Okay, because I know people have said over the years, oh no, it's got asbestos in it, we've got to get all the asbestos out. But you don't have to necessarily remove it, correct? You can abate it?
Well, the abatement is removal. That's okay. What that company is doing. The good news is apparently it's not an uncommon problem for old buildings to have asbestos in it.
Sure.
And the and
40s, the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, asbestos was in common use.
Absolutely.
You know, before they found out about all the side effects of it.
And, you know, the fear that we had in the city is that we just really didn't know what the, we knew what the magnitude was. We knew how much and what materials. We just didn't realize, we did not have a good feeling of what the cost was going to be to remove it. And at the end of the day, the cost came back much cheaper than we even budgeted for and expected, which was a nice surprise. So, and, you know, we're probably 2.5 weeks away from having a certification that that building is asbestos free, which is a great thing.
Oh, so, my goodness. Yeah. Okay.
So we're excited about that, and that was one of the you know, we're kind of used to things costing more than we expected them to. In this case, it was a nice surprise that the low bid for the abatement was less than what was anticipated.
Okay. Yeah, because I've you know, you hear about, oh, we've got to get the asbestos out, and it's going to cost millions and millions of dollars to get rid of it, and sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, we'll get it out, no problem, you know, and...
Well,
so it's nice to hear.
And in this case, having it be in a non-occupied building probably saved money because they, you know, there's a little different. They have a complete run of the building. They don't have to worry about occupants, moving occupants, relocating occupants,
too.
And things of that nature.
Or so occupants coming in, yeah, while they're doing stuff.
Absolutely. Okay. So that is, I know that's a project that is important to our citizens and community, and we're just excited to see movement in the right direction there.
Okay. Well, I'd like to get back to one of the first things that you touched on, the alleyway project. And people are always coming up to me and saying, what are they doing back there? So if I might ask, what are y'all doing back there?
Well,
in layman's terms.
Basically, the objective of the project is to make the alley and all of the routes into the parking garage, which is really the only free public parking off of right away that we have in quantity in the central business district, is that for years the alleys around that parking garage have been working alleys, but they're not aesthetically attractive. At night, you may not feel comfortable with your mother parking there and walking down that alley. So it is a complete redevelopment of the alleyscape or the streetscape of the areas. And it is a material change as far as the surfaces, brick pavers, different wearing materials, signage, and lighting. We're going to have still be string lights and other things, so that it's well lit. It's very attractive. There's going to be many components of public art incorporating it to just give it a pleasing appearance. There's also going to be a transit hub that has bathrooms in it, public bathrooms, as well as a place for when we have tour groups that are coming into town by bus. This will be their point of getting off the bus, where they'll meet the bus back. We're working with Bratz for some public transit connectivity. We run our downtown golf cart service that we can drive folks to. That will be a point where if you park there, you can pick up the downtown tram and get to where you're going. And we're just hoping to, one, make people aware of public parking there, make it inviting, make it feel safe, and make it highly functioning while keeping it a working alley, meaning we understand businesses have to have garbage service and they have to have deliveries and everything else. And probably from a public works and engineer standpoint, we're fixing some drainage problems that were in there, because there have been a lot of businesses that back up to the alley that's had a challenge with stormwater runoff, and now we're piping all of that into the new system that we put in at Church Street, and hopefully we'll address all that flooding issues that occurred during heavy rainfalls.
Oh, sure, because there's a big downhill slope in there, and if you've got a little wall or something jutting out, it's going to catch a lot of rainfall. So y'all, I'm guessing you put in a storm drain that's gone beneath it and has grates and such, or
absolutely. You know, for example, the actual parking garage used to just downspout onto the alley surface, and that's a very large concrete structure that captures water and then spews it onto the driving surface that went wherever it wanted to go. Well, now that all is being piped into a closed system in the ground and being piped into the public public drain system, as well as we've gone going up the alley and up toward the section street, we're picking up downspouts from buildings and things of that nature. So we're decreasing that surface runoff and the problems that it causes.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. I think it's a fantastic project. I think the art, as an engineer, I've never got to really work with the artist, and the Single Tax has commissioned Bruce Larson, the sculptor, to do an entrance feature on Church Street, and it's going to be spectacular. And we've been working with some other mural artists for some wall murals and things of that nature. So I think it's just going to be really kind of a Fairhope project that has that Fairhope feel. And I think that our goal is to make the alley as attractive as the front street that are surrounded.
Okay. Well, good. Well, it's good to hear your perspective here, because in the past I've heard people, they come up and they focus on the art that's going to be back there and the artists that are going to do this. And I'm like, it's an alley. You know, this is where those businesses put out their garbage cans. This is where people just sort of drive through to get out of the parking garage. And this is where, you know, the big Coca-Cola trucks and the big delivery trucks leave stuff in. This is not a pedestrian route per se. But you're saying there's a huge focus on that aspect of it, and that's the primary.
Yes, and
then we're making it pretty is just sort of a nice little side effect.
Yeah. For example, we realize we still have to have garbage receptacles there, but if they're in a corral that has artwork on the outside, that's kind of a win for everybody. There's a place for the garbage, but there's also an aesthetic that helps make it more inviting. And that alley, you know, the history, it's always been a shared use, meaning it's always been the support of business and it's always supported the utilities and the garbage service, but people have always walked through there too. So we're trying to make it all things to all people and make it as functional and highest use and a safe use for everybody.
Okay. What about some of the other projects that are going on around the city?
Well, a biggie is, as you know, in cooperation with Single Tax and the school systems at Founders Park, we're building a full certified track and field facility, and that is really starting to take shape. If you go out there, you can now see how the track lays out, and I know we're excited about that, and that project is just going to be, again, another addition to our parks and recreation. And providing a facility that not only supports our athletics and the school system, but also provides recreational opportunities for our citizens and visitors alike. Probably one that I have personally really enjoyed being involved with. We've owned what's historically been called the Dias Triangle now for many years. And we received a Gomesa grant to start developing that park property. And a couple weeks ago, the design team kind of presented the conceptual idea of the first phase of development to the city council. Got some great input there. We have a steering committee that they've again met with to kind of address some of the comments and suggestions and things of that nature. And, you know, we are probably about 90 days out from having the completed plan for phase one, and to get that out to bid and start that development of that park property. And it's it is going to be a passive park, meaning that it's unlike Founders, which has soccer fields and softball fields and very active recreational. This will be nature trails and walking paths, and, you know, designed for low intensity use and to have a connection to get out into nature. And it's a beautiful piece of property.
Okay. Yeah. And I've talked to people, you know, that come in and talk to us about us and give us feedback about it. The folks seem to be divided into a couple of different camps. One is they want you to develop it to have as much interaction with people as possible, let people go through and do stuff with it. And the other is don't do anything with it. Let nature have a place to live. So how do you find that balance?
You know, that's a tough thing. You know, we have a lot of advisory committees. There's no doubt that the bicycle pedestrian committee really wants to have a maximum amount of bicycle and pedestrian activity on that property. You go to the environmental advisory committee, they would prefer that it just left to nature and don't let humans touch it. And, you know, you look at your greater population, there's no one who's going to debate that the city of Fairhope is not growing and that we have more citizens. And one of the great standards that this city has set is public spaces, meaning we are a city of parks, but in reality, our population has grown by double probably over the last 20 years, but has our parklands grown by double? No. Mm-hmm. And we also recognize that the density of development, meaning people's homes sit on smaller and smaller lots, and sometimes yes. they're bigger and bigger houses, so they may not have green space at their home to enjoy, so they're dependent upon green spaces that are in the public domain. So I think the challenge of the design team and the council and the mayor directing that is how do you give the maximum opportunity for that green space environment to be enjoyed by our citizens while still respecting the environmental sensitivity of the property. And so I kind of told the design team, if this group is not happy and this group is not happy and this group is not happy, you may be right where you're supposed to be because you found the compromise. No one got everything that they
wanted.
Yeah,
as long as everybody's unhappy, we're probably doing well.
So I think that that's going to be a challenge. And a lot of it will be, realistically speaking, is once the park becomes an operating park, the management of that facility is going to lie on the city, Parks and Recreation, and the departments that do that. And if we find that we have a use that is detrimental, we change that use. If we find that it can handle a greater use, you can increase that. So I think there's a balance there. But I just think when you think about the north end of town and the folks that live to the east in town, having that opportunity of that nearly 110 acres of beautiful green space available to them is going to be well received.
Okay, okay. What are some of the other projects that are going on alongside, not besides that?
A couple little ones were, you know, we had the opportunity out at Quail Creek to purchase okay. the old Property Owners Association tennis court. It is being redeveloped into a pickleball court. And
okay.
I don't know if you're a pickleball player. I'm not, but there is great excitement. It's a small
yeah.
project. And we're hoping that sometime about midsummer, maybe 4th of July, that will be open for recreational pickleball. And, you know, not very exciting or sexy, but we are continuing to address our aging drainage infrastructure. We got a project going on that runs between Morphy and Belange and replacing a failed drainage system there. So there's a lot going on. Always continual utility work throughout the city, upgrading our substations and our transmission lines, as well as the sewer lift station projects continue just about every month a new sewer lift station has been put online that replaced an aging older one. So a lot of good things going on in the city.
Okay, let me ask you about the well situation, because I get a lot of questions about the well over the last couple of years. We've had issues with some of the wells and water rationing and such. Can you address any of that, or is that?
Yeah, the biggest challenge that we have is there can become times when the weather pattern gets a certain way that you have right now with our water production system, and these are not exact numbers, but there are times when we can produce a maximum of 5 million gallons per day of deliverable potable water, but the demand is 7 million. Okay.
Okay.
Now, you say, well, we have water tanks. That is true. And those water tanks, many of them are million gallon capacity. But eventually, if you have too many days like that, you've consumed that stored capacity, and all of a sudden, that's when we get low pressure system issues, and you get discoloration in your water because you're getting cavitation in the water lines because they're not completely full, there's a natural sediment that occurs on the lining of the pipe that gets disturbed, and mm-hmm. it's perfectly safe, but no one wants to drink water that has a gray or brown tinge to it.
Right.
So what are we doing about that? Well, the biggest thing is at Water Plant 3, they are well along in a new water treatment plant there to produce water. There's new wells. And their project has been let for a transmission line, because there's a couple of challenges that we face. You may can produce the water, but if you can't move it to where you need it, it doesn't do you any good.
Doesn't do you any good.
So it's a multi-phase attack on that, but The good news is we have been recipient of some monies made available nearly totaling $30 million just on the water sewer end that is addressing those challenges. Just as Church Street, the emphasis of that project was, is we had the same problem. We have a sewer treatment plant that can treat the volume. We couldn't get the volume to it. And thus the overflows and things like that. Well, now between Church Street outfall, which is the main sewer trunk line that feeds the plant from everything to the south of us, and what occurred on Fairhope Avenue and Bayou and Fairwood, that was a transmission line that was put in to bring in everything from the east. Now we can actually get the flow to the plant to treat and not have the backup in the system that cause overflows that we unfortunately see about in the news and things of that nature. So progress is being made, but right now we're still susceptible. If we get into June and we get a long dry period and people are really watering their lawns and things of that nature and demand for water exceeds our ability to produce it, too many days of that, that's when we start talking about rationing and not watering lawns and things of that nature. But we are implementing a solution to that, meaning upping our ability to produce more water than any maximum peak that we've realized in the last few years.
Okay, do we have any kind of timeline on that? Or
the challenge, like on the transmission line that is out east of us for water transmission, is that contract's been let, but just to get the materials, the contractor required 9 months. So before he puts the first pipe in the ground, there was a 9-month wait just to get the first batch of pipe. So
Wow. That's
been the challenge there. Treatment plant three, it is well underway. I mean, it could very well be online at year's end. The economy out there and supply chain continues to be a little bit of a struggle. We're seeing improvements, but just delays in materials are a real big challenge.
Okay. And which areas will Treatment Plant 3 maintain?
That's all east of town.
Okay.
And it does connect back in. That main transmission line is, I mean, miles and miles of length. So
it's going to
provide ability to move water where we need it and keep the meet the demand of the future.
Well, I think that's very important because I live east of town, and that will be servicing me. So I need fresh water. So I want y'all to make that a priority.
if you get bored, call Jason with our water department and get him to give you a tour of Treatment Plant 3. It's a pretty neat project going on out there. So.
Okay. All right. Anything else you wanted to get to?
No, we just, we do appreciate our citizens and our folks that are driving our roads, patience, because there's a lot going on. The county has a roundabout going on out at Twin Beach and County Road 13, and that is a major detour. We know that we've all lived through 181, and it's getting closer, and not long we'll be starting the roundabout at North Section Street at the Flower Clock, and so patience, please.
Sure.
Projects always do eventually come to an end, and usually it's much better when it's done than it was before we started, and that's the cost of progress.
Right. Well, 181, they've made it a 4-lane, smooth, wide road, freshly paved. And they've made the speed limit 35 miles per hour on it. So by actually adding lanes and improving the roads, they've actually slowed traffic down. So it takes longer to get north than it did before they did the work. So.
Well, and I hope that, and the folks from ALDOT did say that was a temporary condition while the contractor finished up punch list items and things like that. So hopefully the posting of speed limit will be more commensurate of the ability of the road in the future. But I understand trying to keep workers safe.
I understand too, but there's a lot of times when there's nobody out there working and
understand.
County police, state police are out there and they're just making money hand over fist. And I don't know how many police units they have out there, but I think it's all of them. And so I've talked to several individuals that are like, oh, we just got on the road. It was, it was 45 when we turned off and we were doing about 50. And all of a sudden we get pulled over for going 10 over. I'm like, it just doesn't seem like if you're not paying attention, you're going to get a ticket on that road.
Absolutely.
So okay. We addressed pretty much everything. Was there anything else you wanted to?
No, we just appreciate everybody, and we're just excited that we have these opportunities to have these projects.
Okay, one last question. The roundabout that's going on, or that's going to take place at the intersection of 104 and 98, is that a city? That's a city project.
Right? Yes, that'll be section. The section of 104 that runs from US 98 down to the Flower Clock is mm-hmm. actually now called Triangle Drive because that's not really a state route. That is a city road. So the roundabout is at the intersection of Scenic 98, Section Street, Triangle Drive, and Veterans. And that project, we just submitted 60% design drawings to ALDOT for their review. And I hope that we are probably bidding that project toward the end of the summer. And then our goal is, Volkert is the engineer on it for us, and we're going to try to keep that intersection open as much as possible during construction. Because we realize that any detour for that area is a pretty tough detour. So we're going to try to bid it with keeping traffic on it as much as possible and minimal shutdown of that intersection.
Okay. All right. Once again, Richard Johnson from Fairhope Public Works. Thank you so much for everything
you
do.
I enjoyed it.
And come back in and see us again soon.
We'll do it.
All right. Thank you. We were talking about the alley and all the construction stuff that's going on. Here's Ozark Mountain Daredevils talking about the alley themselves on 1480 WABF.